Theory U. Leading from the Future as It Emerges. Author, C. Otto Scharmer. Muddling Through and Fighting Back. Two predominant strategies characterize reactions to the unfolding environmental and social breakdown, paralysis and corruption, spreading poverty, and the failures of mainstream institutions of education, healthcare, government, and business. Muddling Through and Fighting Back. Muddling Through is the strategy that characterizes most of us in rich northern countries. It embraces a combination of working to preserve the status quo combined with an almost hypnotic fascination with wondrous new technologies that, so the belief goes, will solve our problems. Fighting back, as is evident in the vocal protests of millions of people around the world opposed to the Washington consensus view of globalization, combines a longing for an earlier social and moral order with anger at having lost control over our future. Theory U. Theory U embodies a third view, one that is growing around the world. This view holds that the future will, inevitably, be very different from the past, simply because the predominant trends that have shaped global industrial development cannot continue. We cannot continue to concentrate wealth in a world of growing interdependence. We cannot continue to expand the take-make-waste industrial model in a world where there is increasingly no way to throw our waste and toxins into. Second, this view holds that we are not powerless to alter the dominant trends of the industrial age. These trends are based not on the laws of physics, but on human habits, albeit habits on a large scale. These habitual ways of thinking and acting become embedded over time in social structures we enact, but alternative social structures can also be created. Facing the crisis and call of our time. Because our thin crust of order and stability could blow up at any time, now is the moment to pause and become aware of what's rising from the rubble. The crisis of our time reveals the dying of an old social structure and way of thinking. As we perceive our own rising pressures and diminishing freedoms, we cross the street to meet the other side of the same system in which several billions of people are born and raised in conditions that will never give them a chance to participate in our global socioeconomic system in a meaningful and fair way. One of the primary issues is and remains that our current global system works for only a relatively small, elite minority of us, while in many parts of the world, it doesn't work at all for the vast majority of the population. Across the board, we collectively create outcomes and side effects that nobody wants. Yet the key decision makers do not feel capable of redirecting this course of events in any significant way. They feel just as trapped as the rest of us, in what often seems to be a race to the bottom. The same problem affects our massive institutional failure. We haven't learned to mold, bend, and transform our century-old collective patterns of thinking, conversing, and institutionalizing to fit the realities of today. The social structures that we see decaying and crumbling are built on two different sources: pre-modern, traditional, and modern industrial structures or forms of thinking and operating. Both of them have been successful in the past, but in our current age, each disintegrates and crumbles. The blind spot. The blind spot is the place within or around us where our attention and intention originate. It's the place from where we operate when we do something. The reason it's blind is that it's an invisible dimension of our social field, of our everyday experience and social interactions. This invisible dimension of the social field concerns the sources from which a given social field arises and manifests. It can be likened to how we look at the work of an artist. At least three perspectives are possible. We can focus on the thing that results from the creative process, say, a painting. We can focus on the process of painting, or we can observe the artist as he or she stands in front of a blank canvas. In other words, we can look at the work of art after it's been created, the thing, during its creation, the process, or before creation begins, the blank canvas, or source dimension. The journey to you. Reenacting patterns of the past. Suspending judgment and seeing reality with fresh eyes. Connecting to the field and attending to the situation from the whole. Connecting to the deepest source, from which the field of the future begins to arise. Crystallizing vision and intention. Prototyping living microcosms in order to explore the future by doing. Performing and embodying the new in practices and infrastructures. Going down the U moves us through the cognitive spaces of downloading, seeing, sensing, and presensing. But to successfully enter these deeper and cognitive spaces, we have to cross those thresholds, suspension, redirection, and letting go. Going up the U may be the same journey, except that you cross the thresholds coming from the opposite direction. The rest of the journey downward, uncovering Theory U, can be best summarized in terms of five key insights or propositions that are introduced as follows. 1. We need a social technology, that is based on tuning three instruments. While most experienced leaders actually do know these deeper levels of the U, from their own experience, most organizations, institutions, and larger systems are firmly stuck in levels 1 or 2. As an alternative, we should develop a new type of social technology that is based on 3. The open mind is based on our ability to access our intellectual or IQ type of intelligence. This allows us to see with fresh eyes, to deal with objective figures and facts around us. The open heart relates to our ability to access our emotional intelligence, or EQ. That is, our capacity to empathize with others, to tune into different contexts, and to put ourselves into someone else's shoes. The open will relates to our ability to access our authentic purpose and self. This type of intelligence is also sometimes referred to as intention, or as SQ, spiritual intelligence. It deals with the fundamental happening of the letting go and letting come. We can tune each of these three instruments on an individual as well as on a collective level. 2. The most important leadership tool is yourself. The second insight is one that deals with the evolving nature of every human being, and the recognition that we are not one, but two. One self is the person or community we have become as a result of a journey that took place in the past. The other self is the person or community we can become as we journey into the future. It is our highest future possibility. When these two selves talk to each other, you experience the essence of presensing. We must learn to drop our ego and our habitual self in order for the self to emerge. The leader's interior work deals with melting and mastering three enemies. The third insight deals with this puzzle. Why is the journey to the deeper levels of the you always the road less traveled? Because it requires difficult inner work. To go through the eye of the needle requires that we face and deal with at least three inner voices of resistance. The first enemy blocks the gate to the open mind, and it's called the voice of judgment, or VOJ. Unless we succeed in shutting down our own voice of judgment, we'll be unable to make progress in accessing our real creativity and presence. The second enemy blocks the gate to the open heart. It's called the voice of cynicism, or VOC. We must first put ourselves into a position of vulnerability, which distancing usually prevents. It's not about preventing yourself from following your VOC, but if you want to get to the bottom of the you, then your VOC is dysfunctional because it blocks your progress in that journey. The third enemy blocks the gate to the open will. This is the voice of fear, or VOF. It seeks to prevent us from letting go of what we have and who we are. And yet, meeting and dealing with that voice of fear is the very essence of leadership, to facilitate the letting go of the old self and the letting come with the new self. Then we could step into another world that only begins to take shape once we overcome the fear of stepping into the unknown. The U is a living field theory, not a linear mechanical process. The fourth insight concerns an observation on some of the early adapters of the U process. They applied the principles of this theory in a rather mechanical, linear manner. For practical purposes, there is also a real benefit to breaking it down this way. During the co-sensing movement, focus primarily on sensing. During the presencing movement, focus on inner knowledge. During the co-creation movement, focus on enacting. But keep in mind that all the other movements and capacities are always present. You could think of the U as a holographic theory. Each component reflects the whole, yet in a very specific and particular way. The rise of the social space of emergence and creation, cycle of presencing, is connected to the dying and transformation of social space destruction, cycle of absencing. The final insight concerns the observation of the massive rise of destruction, violence, and fundamentalism at the same time that we also see an opening in the deeper layers of the social field. This proposition tries to shed some light on how these two forces relate to each other. It suggests that both are aspects of a single evolutionary movement. Often, we see how people in the face of the utmost destruction have the ability to wake up to a higher level of awareness and consciousness. The real battle in the world today is not among civilizations or cultures, but among the different evolutionary futures that are possible for us and our species right now.